Welcome to TKG's Healthcare Insights, where we explore healthcare's critical issues, challenges, and trends with a focus on achieving the quadruple aim of enhancing patient experience, improving population health, reducing costs, and improving the work life of healthcare providers and staff. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome. We're glad to have you listening today. I'm Warren Smedley with the Kinetics Group. A few weeks ago, I attended the Hematology Oncology Pharmacy Association's annual meeting in Boston, where we presented some research our team did on the effect of Medicaid expansion on the price of drugs. The current Medicaid expansion program was initiated under the Obama administration's Affordable Care Act and officially began in 2014. At that time, 27 states opted to defer participation in the program. Currently, there are still 12 states that have deferred their participation, mostly in the Southeast, and the Biden administration has listed this as a priority for continued federal emphasis. We were curious about the effect of Medicaid expansion on the price of drugs, which is one of the more significant topics of discussion these days, the rapidly increasing price of drugs. My co-host today is Sarah Pugh, a senior director with the Kinetics Group. Sarah is an oncology nurse by training and background, and she has a particular interest in the cost of cancer care. Welcome, Sarah, and thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Warren. It's great to be here today. And congratulations to you and to Summer Wang for being selected to present your research at the HOPA conference this year.
Thanks, Sarah. This was an interesting project, and it's a great example of how well-meaning federal programs can sometimes have a few unintended consequences.
Well, this certainly wouldn't be the first time that that's happened. Yeah. Well, I read your research and I really appreciated the insight into the impact of basic economics on public policy. I think this is one of those times when an economics professor might should have been on the committee that developed the expansion plan. But can you tell us how you got started with this research? What inspired you?
Sure. You know, we do a lot of research and facilitate demonstration projects here at the Kinetics Group, especially things that would be of particular interest to our life science customers. So I'm always looking for these kinds of interesting research opportunities. Since 2014, the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, has provided states with an opportunity to expand their Medicaid coverage to low-income individuals, children, and people with disabilities. All but 12 states have implemented Medicaid expansion under the ACA program, and the literature is suggesting that Medicaid expansion is associated with much better health outcomes and lower cancer mortality rates. Expansion seems to be doing what it was intended to do, and that's really good. However, the cost of cancer drugs is rising quickly, adding significant financial toxicity to this low-income patient population. To date, there has been very little research exploring the impact of Medicaid expansion on the cost of oncology drugs. And the purpose of this study was to estimate the impact of the ACA Medicaid expansion program on the overall cost of drugs.
That'll be interesting to hear what you learned. So what did you find out from the study?
Well, we pulled publicly available data on the total Medicaid drug cost per capita and the average spending per dosage unit of specific drugs. We used a difference in differences approach to estimate the impact of the ACA Medicaid expansion program on the cost of drugs between 2015, just after it got started, and 2019. We compared the change in drug prices between the Medicaid expansion states and the non-expansion states during those years. Our analysis showed that the difference in differences estimate of Medicaid total drug spend was $100.25 higher per capita from 2015 to 2019 in the Medicaid expansion states when compared to the Medicaid non-expansion states. We also looked at some selected cancer drugs and found that the difference in differences estimate of Medicaid drug costs per dosage unit varied by drug and state, from a low of $8.88 per dosage unit to a high of $206.85 per dosage unit. Overall, all these drugs trended higher in the Medicaid expansion states.
Wow. Okay, so can you explain a little bit to us about what these numbers really mean?
Yeah, I know it can be a little confusing, of course. So it's a little tricky, but we measured the rate of increase in drug prices between the expansion states and the non-expansion states. A difference in difference estimate looks at the change between two points in time, generally before a change and after a change. In this case, the change or intervention, as we like to call it, was the expansion of Medicaid. This isn't really that surprising, as basic economics tells us that when there is more money put into an economic system, prices tend to rise more quickly.
Right, right. So some of our listeners may be thinking, so what? You know, you mentioned the unintended consequences. What do you think the downstream effect of these unintended consequences might be?
Well, I think our results may suggest that the ACA Medicaid expansion program, while achieving an overall benefit in health outcomes, may also lead to increased total drug spending per capita in the Medicaid expansion states. Similarly, we observe the same trend in the cancer drugs that we had complete data on. An unintended consequence of the ACA Medicaid expansion program may be higher drug costs, and that in turn may lead to higher financial toxicity impact on eligible beneficiaries.
That's one thing that I was a little worried about. That could definitely be a challenge for these already low-resourced and economically challenged patient populations.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate. But of course, each state has its own rules for a patient's out-of-pocket responsibilities for medications. So some states may have little impact on financial toxicity, while others may have more of an impact. But either way, still, the cost of drugs continues to be a significant challenge for our health system. And we need to try and anticipate these kinds of unintended consequences in advance of implementing new federal policies.
Absolutely. I think that every effort should be made to try to minimize those unintended consequences, especially when they would impact the exact patients that they are hoping to benefit. Well, this was a great study. I will mention that the study is available for download on the TKG Oncology website under the Resources tab. So if our listeners are curious, you're welcome to take a closer look at the study there. Now, Warren, you mentioned that TKG does a lot of these research projects. What else are you guys working on right now?
That's a good question. Thanks for asking. Hey, I'll mention that if somebody wants to email us to our podcast email address, which I'll mention at the end of the podcast, I'll send them directly a copy of the poster as well. So, you know, it seems like we always have a handful of these projects underway, Sarah, and at any given point in time, I'm working on several. I might remind our listeners that we have several thought leaders network panels operating right now. I think there are 8 of them. You and I have debriefed several of these thought leaders meetings on this podcast before, and we're working with these senior level healthcare executives to address some of the critical issues in care delivery. We recently did some fascinating research into how unconscious biases may play a role in therapeutic decision making. That one was really surprising in many ways. Probably the most surprising was how quickly the physicians and nurse executives on our panels confessed to having unconsciously made therapeutic decisions based on socioeconomic or other social determinants that our listeners would be familiar with.
That's really interesting. And that kind of surprises me a little bit too, although I think despite our best efforts, they call it unconscious bias for a reason. So I think being able to be self-aware of that is very important.
Absolutely. And we've worked on some ideas behind that for ways to bring the attention to the care team, because it's unconscious. If we can make it a conscious thing that they're aware of it, then they do actually change their behavior, because most of the providers out there really want to do what's right for the patient. And many times they just don't know what's available to the patient. So we have encouraged our life science companies to help make providers aware of what resources may be available to their patients that would help them to make a different decision for a patient that may have low socioeconomic status or some other issue that may be a barrier. So
absolutely,
there are opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was doing research for a project not long ago. One of the things that stood out to me was the perception that just having good communication skills does not mean that you're communicating the right way or communicating the right things to the patients. And, you know, it was basically advocating for additional training for the physicians.
Right. You know, what we found was that, you know, more additional training is actually helpful, and the providers actually have said that they would find it helpful.
I like that. I think education would be a great way to possibly combat this issue. In fact, I was doing research last week on a project that highlighted that very need among clinicians.
You know, something else that we're working on, Sarah, that I found really interesting. I'm working on a loss to follow-up project, which I was asked by a client to take a look at. And I was very intrigued to learn from another study that patients with chronic diseases, especially the indolent, slow-progressing diseases, do a poor job of following up as prescribed. Hematology patients in this article were the worst, with more than 70% of patients being lost to follow-up after 5 years. Now, they still have their disease, they just aren't following up. In this particular case, we're using digital tools and a form of patient navigation to help identify at-risk patients and then help them stay current with their therapies. Really cool stuff.
Yes, it is.
I'm also working on another project to enhance companion diagnostic testing in rural and low-resource patient populations. Many of the newer therapies require companion diagnostics to identify appropriate biomarkers associated with the performance of a specific therapy, and these tests are not being done at the same level in rural and low-resource patient populations.
I've also heard recently that COVID has also impacted the rate of diagnostic testing and companion diagnostics for these patients. So that's a great topic to take a look at.
Absolutely. You know, we also looked at screening rates during COVID, and screening rates dropped way off for cancer as well. So we're kind of anticipating having a wave of late stage cancers show up now that patients are going back into regular healthcare routines again. Hey, another project we're working on, Sarah, that's kind of in your neck of the woods, and that's, or your interest level, that's to identify educational needs in the biosimilar space. And I know you're working with some clients on biosimilars. My doctoral work has been in the adoption of new cancer drugs. And these biosimilars have a unique challenge with regards to adoption. And we're finding that there are some particular issues that are very unique to biosimilars in the way that the FDA approves them through an accelerated pathway that leads to some adoption challenges there. So it's been very interesting. We're doing a lot of these kind of projects and have a lot of cool things going. So it's been really cool.
This has been a great discussion, and I love hearing about all of the areas that TKG is diving into with their research. So would definitely love to hear more about it in future podcasts as the data comes out.
Absolutely. It's great to be with an organization like the Kinetics Group that strives to make an impact in patient care outcomes. TKG, as you know, is committed to supporting the quadruple aim of enhancing patient experience, improving population health, reducing costs, and improving the work life of healthcare providers and staff. We need to get our patients on the right therapy at the right time in the right place so that we can optimize the best possible outcomes. Thank you, Sarah. This has indeed been a great discussion.
Thanks, Warren.
Well, that wraps up another week of TKG's Healthcare Insights. Thank you for joining us. We welcome your suggestions, ideas, and requests for podcast topics of interest. Please email us at oncology@thekineticsgroup.com and write Insights Podcast in the subject line. Thank you. Have a safe and healthy day. You have been listening to TKG's Healthcare Insights, a program produced by the TKG Oncology team of the Kinetics Group. TKG Oncology empowers life science companies to effectively engage with health system and payer customers by developing strategies and real-world solutions aimed at impacting the right patient at the right time with the right care. We also work directly with health systems and payers to address the critical issues of our time. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us at tkgoncology.com. Thank you for joining us today.